Valley, but you know. Why don't you get your legal counsel?
Home, I can turn up the volume, I can shut down the lights, turn on the light, call the dog.
The December 19th, 2019 study session, the Aurora Valley Planning and Zoning Commission calls for order. Can I get a roll call of the members, please?
Chair Swope?
Here.
Commissioner Brinsma?
Here.
Commissioner Gamble?
Here.
Commissioner Gribb?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner-elect Hurst?
Here.
Commissioner-elect Sturman?
Here.
And Commissioner-elect Harrington?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
Okay, welcome everybody.
Everyone plus.
This is gonna be easy for me, because I'm gonna turn it over to Byron. We'll go from there.
We'll see. All right, everyone, welcome. I really appreciate everyone making the time, especially the commissioner-elect joining us, as well as our council liaison to be as of January. Welcome all. Tonight, it's a really unique opportunity. I don't think in my last 20 years of serving commissions and boards, I've ever had an opportunity quite like tonight. Tonight, we get the chance to not only welcome new members as part of a training session, but we have outgoing members, and that's Tom. It's the reverse, folks. It's the reverse. Here to share their collective wisdom tonight, as far as what they've seen over not just the last 4 years with this commission, but also the prior service and other boards and commissions with the town of Laurel. So very unique, and at the same time, having all of the key staff that you're going to see at virtually every single meeting. Okay, so the faces you see around the table that are staff, we are here to serve you. Okay, we take that charge very seriously. So what I want to do tonight really is, that is the official title on the agenda, and we are going to do this. But there's a very strong subtext here that I want to lay out before we jump into it. Tonight really is less about the wonky bits. We're not going to talk about how to make a motion. We're not going to talk about the arcane aspects of Robert's Rules of Order.
I'm out of here.
So really the focus tonight is how do we optimize our performance, as a team, to have effective meetings that are clearly seen by everyone that's before us as being efficient and transparent and fair. And so it's really odd to use the word team when it comes to talking about a commission, because it's your job to come with your independent opinions. So when I say team, I'm not saying our charge is to come up with the same answers. That's not it at all. When I say team, I mean we all must work together, staff, commission, to create the environment where when someone comes before us, whether it's a resident, especially a resident, an applicant, what they see going on, again, is an efficient, fair, equitable, and transparent process. Because when someone comes before us, they read that. They make an assessment immediately. It's incumbent upon us to really take the rules and parliamentary procedures seriously, because, and we're going to have some fun tonight with Reagan's rules, but there's some real meaning behind some of these. And every single one of those rules, over my 25 years of public service before boards, I've seen those things happen. So they do happen. So we want to have a bit of a conversation about that. So the actual agenda, the sub-agenda that we're going to cover tonight really is this list. I'm gonna lead us in an exercise in terms of introducing each other. I promise you guys will be thoroughly annoyed with me after that. I promise. Secondly, you can read faster than I can speak. We're going to talk a little bit about roles. And very importantly, Chair Spoke is going to talk about the role of chair and vice chair and some of the subtleties that you may not readily recognize that go into making that role happen successfully. That is an important agenda item because the very first action in January is to elect not only a chair, but a vice chair, which is very unusual to have both open at the same time. So more about that later. So then after that, Lee's going to lead us through an exercise, really focusing on the Riggins rules, using these post-it notes, and Lee will explain how all that works as far as do's and don'ts. And so that's a participatory exercise where we want you guys to do the speaking and the staff doing the listening. And then it's our turn as staff. Our turn as staff is taking a walk through 25 years worth of experience amongst the staff at this table, working with boards and commissions of some of the great things we've seen and some of the not so great things we've seen. And we had a lot of fun with this in terms of bringing together a lot of different ideas and examples that we want to share some things with you. And then the big wrap up is I just really wanted to hear some of the key takeaways from this evening. I want this evening to be participatory, that word, okay? So I don't want any moment in here, unlike right now, to feel like you're listening to a talking head. I want to make sure that questions are being thrown out, discussion, and the like. So please don't ever hesitate to raise your hand. All right, so let's launch into introductions. We're going to cover a lot. My hope, and I hope I don't hear a collective groan here, we're hoping to keep you so late. We have to move fast to be able to achieve that. Okay, so we need your help to do that. All right, the first thing you need to ask you all to do is take your name tent and please put it to name this information. So you've all introduced yourselves to each other. Do you all remember each other's names? So here's what I'm going to promise both of you, all of you, because this is the first step for team building. I'm just learning from each other. That's right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure in the next, by the next 20 minutes, everyone in this room knows everyone else's first name. Who's good at remembering names?
I think I know them.
Who's awful at remembering names?
Oh,
all right. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'd like everyone to stand up. Please come on over here to this box of cords over here. Major tripping hazard here. So we're going to do a circle here.
We did this.
I'm sorry.
Circle all the way around.
Won't be an engineering circle.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little more oval.
Oh, I'm
not. Who considers themselves to have a great sense of humor? Just real quick. So, a part of this exercise is the person that stands to the right of me really gets a shrewd stick. So. So that's why I asked that question. So this is how this works. All right. Everyone in this room is going to learn everyone else's first names. Okay. So how we do that is I want you to think about the first letter of your first name. Okay. Now think of another word that describes one word. Maybe get away with two. One word, please. Starts with the same letter and describes your personality in one word.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, an example might be, my name's Randy, and I like to raise can eat and run around and have a great time. Maybe
it's worse.
Maybe it's Rascally Randy. Maybe it's Rascally Randy. Okay? So that might be an example. All right? So I'm going to start out with my name, and then when I do that, I'll introduce myself, and then I'm going to go to Malini. Ask her to be the very same thing. She's going to do it. So does everyone understand how tall is? All right. So Malini's going to do the same thing. Say the word she's thinking of that starts with an M, and then her name, and then she's going to say my name. All right. And then after that, Patty's going to do the very same thing. She's going to say her P and Patty, then recite this person's name, and then my name. And it's just going to keep going around in a circle.
Wow.
All right. So by the time we get to Tom over here, Bob, seriously. And then we're going to go back around and start again with Skeet and so on. Okay? Celeste, you don't look happy.
No, I'm very happy.
Can we have again?
You can tell the people that were in on it.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you can now, but I can set them up for the first success.
It's too late. Alright, so I'm going to cheat a little bit with my names. So I am, by the way, when you do this, here's the problem. When you come up with something, the next 8 months, people are going to be calling you. So keep that in mind. You think I'm kidding. Alright, so boom boom buyer.
Energetic Ellen, minivan Melanie,
Magnificently leaving. Enjoy.
Boom, boom, bye. There you go. Very good. All right.
Dangerous David. Jake, Cook, Dandy Dan, Nervous Neil, Creative Celeste, Sweet Speak, I just forget this, Bodacious Bob, Energetic Ellen, Mini Man Melanie, Hannah's Always Hungry, Gina, Patty Candy Pesky, and here comes the Boom Buyer.
Nicely done. It's Dangerous David or?
Dangerous David.
David.
Get it right.
Jobs JK.
Jobs,
or you call me Jazzy JK. And I do play jazz trombone, by the way.
Jobs or jazz?
Yes. So let's go with Jobs. Dangerous David, Handsome Hal, you gotta be kidding me, Joe. Jack of all trades,
Jake,
Dandy Dan, and Nervous Neil, the Creative Celeste, Sweet Skeet, Bodacious Bob, the chair, Energetic Helen, Minivan Melanie, the vice mayoress, Always Hungry Hannah, Jolly Gina, Pesky Patty, Magnificent Melini, and Boom Boom Fire.
Very good.
You don't have to remember my name. I'm out of here.
That's right.
Well, that goes for me for Bodacious.
It's Bye Bye Bob, right?
Drinking green tea. It's chilled, but green tea? Well, I've got it.
Nope.
You know, JJ, that reminds me, if anyone wants to get up during any of this, please do that. Cookies, and I forgot to mention, restrooms are right through that wall. So,
we keep the chainsaw right over here.
So I want to to spend just a little time, perhaps the wonkiest part of the evening, just you know, talking about roles really quickly, and then just like getting into good stuff. So you all got your packets and an opportunity to read about the roles and how they're really spelled out in code. I think everyone has a very intuitive, strong understanding that in the day, you know, our town council members are the only elected representatives. They're the only elected representatives. And so they, as a group, select all the commission members and approve those. And all of you have gone through the interview process. And everyone in this room is fairly new to this commission. I'm going to throw that out there. So the four returning members or ongoing members have been here right at the one year mark, basically. And so our new three folks are starting out fresh off come January. So but each one has some experience or a fair amount of experience with those commissioners. So whenever we have a turnover and we have an interview process as far as commission members, it seems every year that I've been doing this on interview panels over the years, every year, at least the panels that I'm on, you know, I always try to make sure the discussion starts out with something like this. Hey, we have XYZ expertise and great abilities on the commission. Who, you know, how can we round out the commission more? How can we make sure we build a composition that's representative of the community? Okay, I didn't use the word representatives because those are the elected folks. You are you select based on who is representative of the community. And looking for a diversity of skills and needs and strengths so we have a very well-rounded group. That's always, at least the exercises that I've been through, a focus. And we certainly, that was no different, at least for me, speaking for myself, this go-round. So we're looking to always make sure that we have a well-rounded group. My opinion and approach has always been that if you have a commission or board or body tilted in one direction, you don't get the best decisions. And I don't care what direction we're talking about. Pick the label. If it's tilted in one direction, you don't get the best quality decisions. So balance is always a great thing. I think we got that this go-round. I think we had it. I know we had it last go-round, and we have it going into the next year. All right, so the roles are, and they're listed as far as your recommending body, on the bulk of the cases that you work on, the vast majority. I'm not going to go through that laundry list. Most of the things you work on, you are your recommending body. There are a few limited items where you do have a group of people, like residential architecture, Vermont homes, for example, and there are a few other examples. And every time you get an agenda item before you, you will explain your role, whether you're the recommending body or the site. You never go into a vote not knowing whether you're recommending body or the approval body. And you will always make that clear. All right, so your role as recommending body working with the town council. In terms of that relationship between the two, it's very distinct. It is very distinct. The town has taken over the years great pains to make sure those are distinct. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. The idea, the theory behind the commission, which is actually born of the state legislature. The state legislature mandates that all communities have a planning and zoning commission that must review items like conditional use permits, rezoning, standard planning amendments. Or Valley has you do more, because the town is always valuable to the community. So there's a longer list that's required as far as review. Right. So why on earth have a commission? Why have a commission? Well, I think it's idea, the concept was to take the body, this is the ideal, and I'm going to very much promote that ideal, that it's an apolitical body that comes to the table as non-elected officials, and you do your best to make decisions that reflect the general plan and the community values expressed in those. And you work with the information that you have in front of you and the testimony that you see at the hearing to do that. So, void of the political arena. The idea, the theory was commissions act through best judgment lens versus a political lens. Okay? So, a decision, something comes through here, you filter through the issues, you dissect the issues, you come down to what you think is a very reasoned decision. The next step in the process going to the council, and this is where council's role is dramatically different. They are elected officials. They are up there and have a political role. Okay? They must be responsive to the folks that vote for them. They look through a different lens. That's okay. And that's by design. So, you know, I have worked for commissions in other jurisdictions where these roles got intertwined. And over time, in my years at another jurisdiction, where the commissioners were actually appointed by individual councilmen, okay? So they were very responsive to an individual councilman. He started asking the question, why have a commission? Why bother? It's a waste of time. If it's purely a political focus of the commission, there's no point in having one. It's a wasted step. So I really want and really want you to embrace your independence. Okay, within the rules that the town has created through the procedures.
Thanks, Byer.
Okay. So that's very important. Again, that has to be sacrosanct, where there's no reason to have a commission. Okay? All right, using your best judgment. So, I want folks to understand that part of that linkage between commission and council, there is a bridge. And that bridge is the council liaison. That's part of the bridge, the two parts. So, as I mentioned, Vice Mayor Barrett, you'll be that council liaison in January. And the council liaison's role is very well defined. And it was just some months ago, council revised it to provide more definition. And I sent all the guys a copy, so you guys probably had a chance to read it. But you will hear from Vice Chair Barrett at every commission meeting, giving you an update of what recent actions the council has made related. So you're up to speed of what they're doing, just to be aware. And that's it. That's the role. To bring forward council-approved actions and items that are important to the commission and report on those. Okay. So staff's role, staff's role too, between that commission and council relationship. Okay, so the code lays out that staff's responsibility is to be the executive secretary for the commission. So when you vote on something and make action, well, it's our responsibility to report that. So Ms. Ancona, Jolly Gina, keeps minutes for that purpose. And every time we present a case to council that was before you folks, part of our presentation is explaining the Planning and Zoning Commission voted this way, and we try to give some background to that. We are very careful to never, ever, ever get into, well, the vote was 4-3, and the 3 said blah, 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 blah. We don't go into that depth, and we don't want to get in the middle of the 4-3. But we're reporting is it was approved, and here were the findings. And if you want those details, they're in the minutes, and you can listen to the recording. So we don't get into the back and forth discussions. We don't go into that level of depth. So those are the two roles in terms of intermediaries, if you will, between the All right, what I want to do and dwell just a little bit longer on your responsibilities. And there's a section in the code, and it's in your memos, that I think sums up very quickly, very precisely what your role is to a team and just how focused it needs to be. If there's one thing you remember all this evening, please remember this. All right, I'm not going to read this to you, but I want to point out three different phrases and move on. Three very important things. So we already talked about recommendations and decisions, right? So sometimes you're doing, you're providing recommendations and you're voting. And then sometimes you're providing decisions and it stops right there. Okay? And that list is in your packet. The second part of this phrase, I think, is extremely important. Extremely important. I cannot punctuate this hard enough that your decisions have to be based on testimony that's provided in the meeting. Okay? Simple phrase, right? Not so simple to execute. So when you read a blog, when you run into a friend at the grocery store, when you read the letter to the editor and to the explorer, that's not supposed to be part of your decision making. And if you think it's important, so important to be a part of your decision making, then you need to describe it in the testimony of the hearing. You know, it's one thing to say, I talked to my neighbor in the grocery store and they said not bring it up at the meeting and vote. Please don't ever do that. So if someone said something to you in the grocery store to your neighbor and you think it's really important, make it part of the testimony so it can be part of the discussion. So that's all about being transparent and showing and really being true to the folks that have gone to the trouble to be at the hearing and participate, that everything is happening, all the business of the commission is happening right there. We've all heard the cliche of decisions being made in a smoke-filled room, right? Mm-hmm. That's a version of it. You're making decisions based on things you learned somewhere else that did not show the rest of the country. Okay. And an egregious, more egregious example of that is, I went and met with the developers. I didn't meet with the neighbors. So we want you to stay out of all that. Okay? And come to the meetings as independent folks with your life skills, your life knowledge, and make sure everything in the testimony, only the things that happened in the meeting, are represented as your vote. Okay? It's really important. And it's the same type of approach a judge uses. Okay? You use the testimony that's provided in court. All right? Very important. All right. The last phrase, and I'll line this up, is equally as important. So you've sat through a three-hour meeting of testimony. Upset neighbors, happy neighbors, upset developer, you listen to staff. 3 hours, you're tired, it's time to make a decision. How do you bring all this together? Well, we all have our own systems and methodology, but the demand is that your decision is made through the lens of the general plan. Okay? So the general plan, everyone that's read it, and I trust everyone in this room has read it or participated in some form or fashion, knows there's a lot of latitude in it. Okay? But that's where you need to base your decisions. That's where you need to base it. Ten reasonable people can look at the same policy and disagree on the parameters of it. That's okay. But the point I'm trying to make is base your decisions based into that general plan document and vision versus, again, the club I meet with on weekends, I know they feel like this, so that's how I want to vote. You need to take it back to the general plan and many, I'll get my teach out, and also, most of your decisions have town code criteria involved. And so it's really important to incorporate those and make it clear to the audience and your other commission members that that's what you're using to make your decisions. So Joe, please.
Just some of the language that comes out when you're not using general plan and town codes and it's hard to break yourself of is, I feel that this project should, how you feel's kind of not the lens. I mean, you may feel a certain way, and you're going to, but developers and people in the crowd don't like the term, I feel. It's, well, the code says this, and the general plan says this, and based on the testimony, here's where I land. That's what it should do. Now, that's perfect. You won't be perfect.
Please, Ellen. That is the big challenge of being a commissioner, is you have to meld it all, but if I had to create a hierarchy, the hierarchy is the general plan. This is a document, several people in this room, including Vice Mayor Barrett, a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and committee work went into that. There were thousands and thousands of people, residents, involved in that process. There's never been in Southern Arizona a more thorough outreach effort in terms of dividing a community vision and community priorities. Never. The town spent a couple $100,000 in outreach to make that happen. So, and the promise we made was that you're going to use the thing. So that's our lens. But you know, the start, if I'm a commissioner, the start of my preparation for the meeting is understanding, am I recommending or am I deciding? What are the rules of the road? And your staff report will tell you the criteria. We will list the criteria. And we will take a sampling of general plan policies that we think are relevant to this case. You will always be able to find more with your own research, and I encourage you to do that. Mr. Berger does a great job of that, in terms of doing his own due diligence beyond. So that's how you're collecting your decision wins. And then when you're at the meeting, you're observing the testimony and filtering it through that lens, and the decision that you make is through and expressed through that lens. So it's everything, but the general plan is principle. All right, so I want to at this point pass the baton to Bodacious Bob to talk a bit about the role of the chair and the importance, the rock core importance of the chair. I do want to point out really quick, this is Bob's second tour of duty as a chair for the Planning Zoning Commission. So we've been very, very fortunate, not only the first time, but the second time. I'm really glad you had a chance to find the chair of district.
I will share my own insights. These are my thoughts. These are not necessarily kind of World Valley's opinions about how a chair conducts a meeting, but how I conduct meetings. Hopefully we've been relatively successful over the past many years. You're going to elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson in 2.5 weeks. So you need to begin thinking now even about who are the appropriate candidates. Byer's going to talk a little bit more, I think, later about how the election will actually occur at that meeting on January 6th. But the reason why it's on the agenda tonight is because I personally think this is probably one of the most important decisions you're going to make this year. I mean, regardless of all the other cases that come in, you're going to elect two individuals who are going to both set the tone and the direction, if you will, of the commission in terms of how it interacts with the public, the staff, the council, and anybody else involved in the planning process. So you want to make sure you've got the right candidates that you're considering the right candidates. So these people may also be elected not only for this year, but it's possible that they could be the next couple of years. So we're going to talk about the role of chair and vice chair, the ideal characteristics that you should look for in these individuals, how the chair can affect the meeting itself, and you can have a bad meeting based upon how the chairperson runs that meeting, and other factors that you might want to consider in your selection. So let's see if I can do this now. Yeah, there we go. I won't spend any time on this slide. This is essentially the basic steps that you go through to run a meeting. A chairperson runs a meeting. And I'd like to just point out an observation. This year, I had a great difficulty asking for motions or getting motions. It's been a little bit frustrating for the chairperson, you know, waiting for motion. But that's a key point in the process of running the meeting, managing the meeting, getting to a decision, is to get those motions made. Let's see, the next slide, though. I want to go beyond what's just the kind of the standard stuff that we do, and focus on just a couple of items. The second one, creating a fair and balanced environment for everybody who's at the meeting. That's not only ourselves making sure that we're handling ourselves in a fair and balanced way, but the presentations from the applicant is fair and balanced, that the interaction between the commission and the public is fair and balanced, or perceived as fair and balanced. Perception is everything in this game. The next to the bottom point, ensure that all commissioners have an opportunity to weigh in. I try, and I think every chairperson does try to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak. Maybe you don't have an opinion, maybe you don't have any comments to make, that's fine, but the chairperson needs to be sure that Steve has an opportunity or Hal has an opportunity to weigh in. And lastly, free focusing the discussion when it wanders off track. It happens. We get off in the weeds sometimes, and I need to reel you back in. That's very interesting, that's good information, but that's a little bit off the target of what we're focused on right here, right now, that is related to our decision. It's sometimes kind of subjective, that's to get your opinion, I have this opinion. That's true, but the chairperson runs the meeting, and if the chairperson feels that we are off target and needs to reel the group back in, that's what a chairperson has to do. More beyond the basics, and this one, the only one I want to focus on is intervening in difficult situations, enforcing the procedural rules. We'll talk a bit more in a second about procedural rules, but they are your guidance to running the meeting. You need to rely on those rules. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of problems, and there are problems that come up. Difficult situations, I'll talk about in a minute what I mean by difficult situations, but they come up and you need to be firm and hold to the rules that guide us as a commission. Characteristics of an effective chair, you wouldn't necessarily use myself as the example here because I have not been effective in many of these cases. There are times when it's very difficult to effectively manage a project. But I think the second point, know the rules and the code of conduct. And when I talk about the rules and conduct, I'm referring to primarily the town of Oro Valley's parliamentary rules and procedures and code of conduct. The chair and vice chair need to be well versed in this material, but all members of the commission need to be familiar with them because it really guides the progress. We're talking about which rules, we're talking about the parliamentary rules and the code of conduct. The next one, focusing on transparency and inclusiveness, welcome open and constructive input and discussion. We need to have a lot of discussion within ourselves. We need to hear each other's opinions. We don't always agree. There are diverse opinions. We're going to hear a lot from the public that we don't maybe don't understand or agree with or unsure, and oftentimes it's pushing toward the edge of being almost argumentative and eventually maybe possibly even disruptive to the progress of the meeting. But those comments that we receive should always be taken by us as input to our decision. They should inform our decision. And so we should never close off input from anyone. Staying neutral, fair, and balanced, and impartial, but always ready to express your opinion at the point when, during our deliberations, we have to reveal our position. And lastly, engage and encourage all commissioners to actively participate, not just those who are most vocal. There are members of our current commission who are not as vocal as others, and I've tried, all chairpersons should try to bring those people out, engage them in the discussion, so that they are weighing in and contributing to the final decision. Obviously, be respectful. Use the authority of the chair to avoid inappropriate behavior. You need to be firm. The chairperson oftentimes has to really just be firm. Several years ago, a member of the committee, of the public, sat in the first row of the commission meeting, and she was talking to somebody else, and I had to simply disrupt, stop the meeting and explain to her that it was inappropriate for her to have a loud conversation and disrupting our discussion. It was hard. It's hard to do those kinds of things, especially with members of the public, but I felt I had to keep the meeting on an even track. The bottom line of all this is that the credibility and integrity of the commission really depends in very large part on how the chairperson and or the vice chair handle the meeting, conduct the meeting, and actually how they conduct themselves in terms of all those other points that I made about being open and respectful and what have you. This is not to say that there haven't been bad meetings, difficult meetings along the way. Each one of these points, though, is extremely important. We always need to be prepared. Every one of us needs to be prepared, have studied the materials, have gone to the site, have thought about it very carefully. If we don't, it shows, and it shows to the people who are out in the public sitting just opposite us. They see us fumbling because we don't know what the project is or we don't understand the issues. We need to be well prepared. You can lose control of the meeting, and it has happened when you fail to enforce the rules and remember the code of conduct. Unacceptable behavior, I mentioned it a couple of times. It's really being disrespectful to each other, being abusive, being personal, having personal attacks, and interruptions. Cheering, applauding, booing. This is oftentimes right on the verge of that in some of our more heated meetings. And I like to just start off, when I know that there's a lot of tension in the air, I always say that, you're cheering, you're applauding, you're booing is not going to influence our decision, our deliberations. Again, it's a difficult message to send because the people are enthusiastic, they really are engaged in the project, but you have, again, the chairperson has to control the meeting in a way that doesn't disrupt our deliberations and our final decision. Again, the bottom line is that the commission loses credibility every time we lose control of the meeting essentially just to... I don't know where my thought was, where I was going with that thought. But never mind. We lose credibility and control the meeting. Lastly, some thoughts that I think you ought to have as you go into your election in two and a half weeks. Not everyone on a commission or board wants to be a chair, and you shouldn't force them into that role because they will be bound to fail if they're in a position that they don't want to do or are not comfortable with. Not everyone who wants to be chair has all those skills that we're talking about, personal skills and respectfulness and all of the package of skills that are needed to guide a meeting. Chairs don't need to be the individual with the most relevant or technical background. I have a planning degree and 35 years of planning experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I was the right person to be the chair. The chair can be a current member that come with a year's worth of experience in the commission, or it can be one of the three of you, new members. And I think a previous experience as a chair on a, or of a commission, or being on a board or a commission, is very valuable experience and could be helpful in making that decision. So those are just my thoughts about how a chairperson would interact and guide the commission. As I said, you will set the chairperson and vice chair will set the tone for that interaction with the community from here on for the next year's meetings.
I was going to describe just a little bit about what's up next meeting as far as the chair, vice chair, because I want to make sure everyone's operating with equal information. So, very unique circumstance I've never seen before. We have a situation where we don't have a chair or a vice chair. Usually, more often, perhaps it's the chair terming out, and there's a vice chair that's been learning up and getting ready to help take the reins and has that kind of chops and experience, okay? We're starting from a blank slate, okay? So much so that this is the first time I've ever done this before. The rules have us has staff start out the meeting, okay? Very unusual. So you're used to a chair coming to the meeting and just like tonight, it's starting things out. So the rules provide that the executive secretary, and I'll be acting that role, will open the meeting, and the very first order of business is election of chair. Okay. And I just wanted to share with you really quick how I'm going to do that so that no one's caught by surprise. So after asking for nominations, you can nominate someone, you can nominate yourself, okay? And it will be focused only on chair, right? Once I hear all the nominations, I will ask the folks nominated to provide a statement. And just 2-3 minutes of a little bit of the why, but because we're a new group, we're still getting to know each other. So, share with us. Bob's words of wisdom are definitely a great basis in terms of how you think about that. So the ask will be folks to share a statement, and then we'll ask in terms of a vote, something you need. Usually it's throwing a name out there and yay or nay, right? So the ask will be, instead of a yay or nay, I'm going to ask for, we'll do a roll call vote, we'll ask for a name. So yay or nay, we'll say a name of one of the nominees. If we happen to have at least 4 people saying the same name, then we'll change. Okay? If not, we'll be more multiple rounds of voting. Okay? So just as a heads up, if you are interested in being chair, and you have up until an hour before the meeting, I just would ask the courtesy that you let me know, and I'm not going to share that information with any other commissioners. I don't want to get into any gossip games or any kind of dynamics whatsoever, so I'm not going to share those names. And the reason I ask for your name is that guess what happens after the vote? You get the gavel. So what I want to do, if I have 4 names, for example, just throwing a number out there, people that are interested, before the meeting, I want to give you the cheat sheet of how to run a meeting, okay? So because immediately after the vote, you assume the gavel. So I want to at least give you maybe there's just 5 minutes of training and that cheat sheet so you have something to go by, and we're going to help you get through the meeting. And then have more training with you one-on-one. very second item on the agenda, which will be run by the new chair, is election of vice chair, and so on. Okay, so the rules say staff can only do one item, and one item right off the bat, and that's giving a chair going. Okay? All right, so any questions for Bob or for me before we move on to the next?
Can I just, may I ask a, ask a question, make a comment? One of the situations that, we sometimes get into in a meeting, especially in a highly controversial subject, and we have a lot of blue cards, we don't want to get into a situation where the same thing is said over and over and over and over again. You know, if somebody says something and then the next person says exactly the same thing, there comes a point where you have to say, I've got all these other blue cards, but we need to figure out if anybody's got something new to add, rather than go through 3 minutes from each person. You shaking your head, Melanie? You don't agree with that?
Well, the only problem I have is once you give somebody their 3 minutes, they can pretty much squander it how they like. But it's not a bad idea for that before it starts for the chair to say, we have a lot of cards here tonight. To keep matters moving, it would be appreciated if you're going to say the same thing as the previous people said. Please feel free to get up and say that. I don't know that it's necessary for people to talk about it again and again and see if they'll help you out. But if they want to say it again, we all just kind of got to be ready for it.
Same as the previous speaker, to be on the record. Some folks will do that. Mm-hmm. Many will.
Many will. Many won't talk because the previous people covered it.
So after 2 or 3 hours, they want to go home too. So, but Joe's absolutely right. At the end of the day, it's their 2-3 minutes of fame. So, you will. All right. We're going to press on. So, all right. We're done with PowerPoint. Thank goodness. All right. So we're going to launch into an exercise. This is the do's and don'ts, ratings, rules part. So Louise is going to lead us through this. And so the whole purpose of this exercise is about really working toward that team approach and creating an effective meeting. And I really feel strongly about this. It's part of the preaching. This is an all boats rise situation. We're all working together to make sure we are meeting these rules and meeting these standards. Better decisions are made. The community looks at us with a greater level of respect and appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. It's an all boats rise thing. And again, I'm not trying to emphasize that we need to agree on issues. It's how we perform and get into whatever the solution is. All right, Lee, take us away.
Thank you. All right, so has everybody had a chance to write their 5 items down? Okay, so now you're going to work together in groups of 3 to narrow those a little bit because we don't want to be here until midnight. So you're already kind of sitting in groups. So Bodacious Bob, Energetic Ellen, and Jack. Together, you're one group.
Look at you showing off.
The 3 of you are also in a group, and then Tom, Hal, and Steve are in a group. So I want you to take about the next 10-15 minutes, share with each other your 5, maybe you guys have some of the same, but as a group, pick out of the 15 you have, top 5. Your top 5 as a group, and when you are finished, come put them up on these easels.
All right.
So my point is, I was interested in this.
is that I found in my experience the worst thing they want to hear is you can inquire.
I don't care.
But you don't say,
well, that's my force.
I can say, well, I think that's
what you want. You're the leader.
That's not good. Provincial?
That is
polite.
The developer then goes,
okay, let's be polite and impartial, but.
Sideways.
Okay, so that's.
That kind of a little bit follows. Don't be critical, but.
So you want to put this over here?
All right, yeah, those two kind of match up.
Neil, do you have any new correspondence?
Let's see, nope, not really.
Anybody get?
Missing one.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Here we go.
Put that down.
I think you both did the 31, don't pay for that.
Yep.
The staff is in.
Yeah, sure.
And I saw all the emails about why, I'm like, oh, they called.
There's like.
Well,
I can agree with.
It is not.
Okay, that's like one person.
He's been appreciated that by just.
That's a good idea.
It's weird.
Don't try to handle it.
He's making this move.
Yeah, I like that one too.
So we both have homeworks last week.
And so he was like, I was like, oh, you don't get it tomorrow. Might be attentive also goes with being polite and impartial.
I guess if you really look at it, it's like 13.
What I said is do not hesitate to continue the case or take it under advisement.
Because you got into your homework, so you know you don't want to avoid making or delaying making a decision. Yes, prevent it. But yeah, also if.
Where's the ring?
We'd love to have a code to paint every corner.
Oh!
It's down at the Casa de Movies. Okay. So you get a train right to that code.
Sometimes they just make sure you give a reason when you're making a motion. Strategy is.
Okay.
After you guys get your top five, if you'll rank them as well, your number one gold star child.
Okay.
Not that we have those.
Another corollary to that is don't indicate by word or action how you intend to vote. You shouldn't be making faces at the presenters or falling asleep when they're making a presentation.
I think that's right. Right? What do you think? So we have.
And David can say this. We've had different people. It's like the difference between the planning
system and the receiver.
When Carrie comes in, everybody's engaged and watching and listening. The planning center
creates
the
intention.
Pitching the self story, you know, all this animation. Here's six different examples of the same thing.
He was not the greatest. He may be a great businessman.
I just need to take up that one.
We're more worried about what it looks like. A good cartoon about what it looks like.
I agree.
I just had a good discussion about it.
Should that be our...
And Carrie can light up the room. There's something about
Carrie's got talent. She's good. But she's not doing as much of it. She's letting her underlings do a little more of it now. And they haven't had a project here in town for a while. Pardon me? Or just big, any kind of developments that she's been really involved in haven't come through. And she didn't even come through for development plan.
It falls under this.
If the right thing, they haven't even had that. She's got some pretty modest stuff through here. She got a hotel next to the hospital. I didn't think that would ever be possible when they got that.
Yeah, okay. What do you think?
Yeah.
Good manners.
That hotel don't want to be built because where that is now the elder care facility.
All right, if you put your post-its up, I want you to now figure out a representative who's going to come and represent on behalf of your group.
We have one group that hasn't even posted their stuff yet. Creative
Celeste. I wasn't
going to
put anybody out,
Will you second?
Yes, definitely.
So what Bob said was you brought up a really important point, and I would like to have Joe's help. So I did want to emphasize that if you are being attacked by a resident or a participant, or if staff is going to be attacked, It is the chair's responsibility. You do not have to sit there and take it, but it's the chair's responsibility to inform that person that that type of behavior is not appropriate. So limits may be set and should be set. Okay. So and it's a judgment call when to do that. So but there are limits. And we've seen mayors and chairs do that effectively. You can do it and do it gracefully. Not in a confrontational manner, but doing it gracefully. But there is an option there. But it's a judgment call when to employ that.
Well, Byers says it's completely correct because in the rules, and I'm not going to go deep into it, it is the chair's purview to guide the meeting, but also to protect the folks in the room. And you'll have those attacks like, how could you do that, oh my blah, and they'll blow up and they'll be out of order, and the chair can find a tactful way to try to talk us out of that situation. Now, if it gets really bad, and Byer and I have been here quite a long time. Byer's been here 20, I've been here 19 years, and it hasn't gotten this far. But if it gets really bad, recess, everybody goes in the back, we call the police over. If it has to get there. Generally, it doesn't, but it can. But yeah, it is up to the chair to try to take action. Now, there are also some hidden things, like I'll look at Bob, and he'll look at me when something's going along, and I'll go, which generally means, yeah, we're getting off track, pull us back, Bob. But and things like that, and that'll all come with whoever our new chair is. But yeah, you don't have to sit there and take abuse.
And I felt so strongly to jump in because when this happens and it's clear the chair needs to intervene, if you don't intervene, these things snowball. The next speaker sees what they can do and go away with. Sometimes these things start to grow. And so at some point it does get out of hand. So it's sometimes it's good to nip it in the bud early so it doesn't grow, especially when you have an angry crowd. So.
Thoroughly agreed. Early and often.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Please, if you have checking questions or comments, feel free to say that. But let's get Jason. I will say you guys are all very polite because I know the word dirty dog and like enemy forever. It's in those biggest rules. I brought them on there. So you put them there. But the next group, I think.
I guess I'll do that.
Okay. So if you will, especially if you have ones that they had, you'll add to it like why your group sure. chosen as well.
So we have the same top one as the previous group, which is do your homework, be prepared. That means review all the written material that was given to you in advance of the meeting. All the applicants' materials. The staff report is very important to read. If you want to look at it, personally, I look at sections of the code that I think are relevant, as well as of the plan, so I understand how it fits in the context. Second is create a good impression on city government. As is indicated in the Riggins rules, this may be the first time people have an interaction with town, not the city necessarily, but local government in any way. So you want to make sure they feel like they're being treated fairly and that we're competent to make a decision. Very good reason when making the motion, and I've added based on the general plan and the town code, which was emphasized earlier this evening. I think maybe Oro Valley is a bit unique. The Arizona chapter of the American Planning Association had their annual conference here in Oro Valley a few months ago, and the town was kind enough to send a few of us planning commissioners to that, and we attended a presentation on how planning commissions should operate and so on, and there was a point made to providing a reason. And I asked the question, well, you know, I said in our plan that we have to cite the general plan as part of the reason. And apparently that's sort of unique. I don't know that other cities and towns in Arizona have that kind of language in their code. So, again, refer back to the general plan. 4, do not discuss a K case privately, maybe with your spouse, I don't know. But yeah, generally you want to keep it to yourself until you get to the hearing. And then finally, show respect for the chair, and it's not an easy role. And we've already talked about all the things the chair has to do.
Any things he or Tom would like to add? Any questions?
I was just going to point out number two item there about the
good impression.
Good impression. The chairperson is the, whereas the commission may be the first interaction some member of the public has had with the town, the chairperson is the front man, if you will, of the commission. And so that interaction needs to be very positive.
Thank you.
You know what else I like about that is, I mean, everybody dresses nice. They look professional, and I think that's a really great thing to have.
That's great. All right, the third group, Celeste.
Okay.
You're going to present for your group, please.
Because the writing's too small for me to see. So our number one was, number two, create a good impression of city government. You know, we kind of always want to put our best forward. Like Bob and Leo said, this is the first impression. And I know in some of the meetings that we've been at, I've been really impressed with, the citizens that have gotten up and spoken. And you can just see how nervous they are. And I think it's just so important to, you know, make them feel welcome and that their, you know, voices are heard and their opinions are valid. And so I think that was really important. I just remember one time we had a younger woman come, and she was so nervous. Like, she was, I think she was about 16 years old, and she was up there, and I was like, I was so proud of her, and I just thought, I'm like, good for you for getting up there, and even though that was totally scary. So I always, you know, want people to have a good impression and feel welcome and feel like they can have their voice heard. So our second one was, don't forget that the staff are there to help you. And I know we've always, I think sometimes we kind of look and we're like, can I say that? Did I say it right? Or so that is definitely important. And I know even offline, you know, whenever I have questions, I, you know, can email Fire or Leni. I'm like, hey, so can I get some clarification on this? Or I'm wondering about this and this. And they've always been so helpful and, you know, reached out to different developers and got clarification. So that is very, very helpful. And our third one, be polite and impartial. We always want to create that good impression. You want to be polite, respectfully listen, and just not come with your mind made up. And I think we read these huge packets, we go on site tours, like we all have our own opinions. We're like, oh, well, I don't like that, or oh, I really like this. But I have to admit, like going and then hearing the presentation, the staff presentation, and you know, hearing what the community has to say about it, that's always where I make my decision. And there have been a lot of times where I go and I'm like, oh, I hope this doesn't pass, and then I put forward the motion. I'm like, I think that needs to be approved. Just from, you know, what people have said in the presentation that's been given. So always be impartial. Number four, do your homework. That's super important. I think we all thought that was a big deal, to be prepared. And our last one was don't indicate by word or action how you intend to vote. So just keeping it impartial. And
Are there
any questions?
Actually, I want to add on to the second one. Don't forget, the staff is there to help you. And, you know, I want to compliment the staff in that you really do make an effort to answer questions and be available to clarify things in advance of the meetings. And that's, I think, unusual based on my past experience. So take advantage of that. I know I do, and send emails or get together with buyer or other members of the staff or talk on the phone. So something definitely they're willing to do to help us out.
Byer, if I could throw one thing out there, we appreciate the questions in advance, because when we're sitting there, and don't take it personally, if the question's asked and it's something we haven't thought of, we feel like it's stump the chump moment. And if we can't come up with an answer, we sit there with our thumb in our ear going, what the heck? If you ask it in advance and then ask it at the meeting, we all look like geniuses.
Yeah, a lot of times I used to get the feeling that the commission would be playing stump the staff with us here. You know, yeah. Their game, how can we fool them this time? So it's a good idea to have the questions.
We're happy to get the questions in advance. Whether it's me, most of them will go to Byer. If it comes to me, there's something gone sideways if I get a question in advance of the meeting.
And you know, it's always nice to come back and say, that is a great question, Dave.
I like this.
So before we wrap this one up, from your guys, like I think you mentioned you had a lot that were this similar. So really what I see from the boards is your top three as a group were do your homework, create a good impression for the city government, you know, always keep in mind you are in the public eye, and don't forget that Steph is here to help you. Which will lead me to my next, the next exercise. are there questions, though, about Riggins roles, or is there a Riggins role that you really, really like that we didn't get to discuss that nobody chose?
Well, it's more of a question. Sure. Do we have to wear a tie?
Yet.
No.
It will be July.
Yeah, formal and Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, nice and neat.
Back in the 1950s, is that about
1967? Yeah.
Yeah, that was my impression too. 52 years ago, Riggins wrote these, and they're still applicable today as they were then, and that's pretty impressive.
And when you're done with your four-on question, you will find out one you can add.
Two or three.
Yeah. you want me to go into the next one?
Please.
All right. So now you guys have hopefully fun. Staff has also been having fun looking kind of at through our experience. And I would say with staff, there's at least 20 years of experience of working with boards and commissions. But we see as kind of, for lack of a better term, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So what are things that are done really, really well? What are things that are, and then what are things that we just probably shouldn't do? And so we will be giving you a handout with a lot of these on here, but myself, Pesky Patty, and Hungry Hannah are going to go through our top three. And then, of course, I'm sure most of you have been on a board or been with a commission before. You probably have your own good, bad, and ugly, so if you have time, we'll try to grab some of your stories and highlights as well. So first of all, I do want to say these good, bad, and ugly, they're for all of us, even as town staff. Mm-hmm. We have to remind ourselves of these a lot. Like, for instance, people will come up to, you know, give public testimony, and they'll say something, you know, off color or funny, and it's hard not to react. I personally, during council meetings, especially since I'm with the crowd, and everybody starts clapping, if I'm not paying attention out of muscle memory, I am clapping them. Please have the camera not catch that. So I think though something really great, because you guys have experience, is being clear with motions. Largely, you're very clear with your motions. You're very clear with your votes. That helps us. I know that helps Gina when she's doing the minutes. I'm trying to figure it out how the vote went. But also being clear with conditions. Those are a little trickier. I can tell you from somebody who writes conditions for you guys, I have never thought of one in my head, wrote it down, and be like, done. You always have to go back and wordsmith. We always are looking at it. When you can't imagine trying to come up with a condition on the fly, in front of the public, meeting your intent, making sure it's legal, making sure it's code compliant, you can enforce it, all of that, on your own and at once, So for instance, there's been conditions, like, you know, we want a lot of its height. We want a certain height and a certain amount of feet. Where you'll notice, especially staff, we'll be pushing you. Give us a number. Give us something we can enforce. Give us something we can go at. Because I've been on both sides, and I can tell you when I get other people's cases, there's a lot of, you know, and we are trying to enforce a condition that we weren't a part of. Largely, 9 times out of 10, we are looking for minutes. We're looking for staff reports. Old stuff, because we're trying to figure out what did this person want. And we want to make sure that your intent is being met, that the condition is actually being carried through the way you want it. If you think about conditions, it's kind of like a game of telephone, in a sense, because you give us a condition, we put it in the minutes, we then take it to council, they have to interpret it and decide for what it means, then they recommend, or they approve or deny it, and then we have to enforce it. So by the time it gets to enforce it, it's been through, you know, so we want to make sure it's clear. So I advise, or I encourage everybody to, you know, as Celeste said, you can definitely, when you're trying to make a condition, ask staff. Can you guys help me? This is my intent. I want the height restricted in this area, but can you help me word it so that it gets done? You know, so that it actually happens. So that's my really good one. And if there's questions, comments?
Okay, I know it's not easy to draft a condition or even a motion on the fly sometimes. So is there anything wrong, and maybe this is a question for Joe, of taking a recess and having whoever is the leader and drafting a condition consult with staff or consult with other members of the Planning Commission? Who
if it's going to be that complicated and tough, the individual should ask the chair, and I would encourage a recess so that you can come up with a coherent condition. That's not prohibited. Yeah. Limited recess to make the condition.
The nuance to that, if you want to work on it as an individual, you ask that you don't take a recess and go back and work with a group of commissioners to craft something.
Right.
That's creating another public meeting.
Right. Right. I wouldn't let that happen anyway. You should be talking to me and Byer.
Yeah, I like where you're going, Hal. So recess is a perfect option to, hey, you know, walk over to staff, we'll help you. How we go where you want to go. Recess is a great opportunity to do that. Another method is in the middle of the meeting, again, in terms of promoting transparency, just ask staff. You know, I would like to restrict the height in a manner that is 18 feet and capture all the properties within 100 feet along the edge of the street. Can you craft a condition? And I will say, yes, Chair, please give me a minute. Joe and I, whoever, will actually write something out, and then we'll read it to you.
Right.
And see, and ask him, does that sentence capture what you want to do, Mr. Bergman, Chairman or Commissioner Bergman?
So, handsome hell.
Handsome hell. Come on, boo, get it right. So you can get that on the fly
and ask us to help you with that.
Yeah.
And what's, I think, awesome about that is everyone in the audience is watching this happen.
Right.
Again, the transparency. So, and as Melanie said, you know, if you think you might want a condition about something before the meeting, you haven't made up your mind, because we don't want you to make up your minds. Hey, I'm thinking about this. What would a condition look like? So I'm ready for you, and you can curl on it and do whatever you want. But either option. Our job is to help you get where you want to go effectively. So,
yeah. Pre-drafting it can create an improper perception issue.
It does. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really difficult one, pre-drafting it before a meeting. Mm-hmm. Preconditioned motion. I'd almost rather see, even if you've done something like that and you put some words down, we hash it out somehow, either at recess or openly like that, so that the folks are not saying, oh, this was dead, or the developer's like, oh, this wasn't going to go anywhere from the start.
Right. Now, you're absolutely right. So to me, the number one best way, again, is out in the open. Ask for help.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I was reading here, and candidly, I've never really thought about this, but it says don't mingle with friends, acquaintances, or the audience itself. How do you handle a situation where two or three people come up to you right up to the pulse or the stage, and they want to talk to you? Do you have a certain statement you say, or do you just say, I apologize, but I am not supposed to have private conversations?
Okay.
Something like that is adequate? Okay.
But there's nothing wrong also with somebody coming up and saying, hi, Dandy Dan, good to see you.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to jump off a cliff, but then there's also an odd perspective and something to think about. If every developer that comes in comes up straight to you and shakes your hand at Diaz, there's going to be a perspective problem.
Especially when you say, oh, thank you.
So, the key is to temper your mixture and mingling in your discussions about items for that night outside of the actual deliberations.
Okay.
All
right.
Even a staff
can
try not to sit next to the applicants out in the audience. And we make an effort not to do that. Sometimes they follow us to our. But it's that perception.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perception is key.
It is.
Perception is reality to the audience. So all of those things matter. That's why Melanie was talking earlier about facial expressions. And that's what we will emphasize that.
But especially for conditions, see staff as a resource. Like I said, they're internally, before we present them to you, not written by one person. It takes, how many people does it take to write a condition? All of us. Maybe change a light one, but all of us for writing conditions. So please see us as a resource. With that, again, we are a resource to you. And we kind of touched on this earlier about asking questions. The worst thing you can do is not participate or ask questions. That's the worst thing you could do. But if you do have questions that might be more technical or specific, it is helpful to ask them beforehand, more so that we can make sure we have an answer. We don't want to leave you hanging either and not give you the information you need to make a decision. But as much as I have tried to read all the zoning code, I can be honest, I haven't. May put me to sleep. I don't want to say anything bad about it, but it's hard. And so there's a lot of information in there, and we can really give you accurate information back. So if you have technical questions or very specific questions about specific, portion of code, please feel free to ask us beforehand. As Wes mentioned, you can email, get a hold of us. We know they come up. That's when we may ask for a recess to get more information for you. But largely, if we knew those beforehand, that would be a great question, Dan. And so we can.
Insightful. And great question.
I am so pleased that you asked that question this evening.
Yeah. And that, though, we joke, but there are questions that you ask that your fellow commissioners may be wanting to know. So we joke, but it's not a bad thing. If you ask a question for something in-depth and specific, and you think, hey, I wonder if anybody wants to know, ask us, and we will put our game face on, and we will answer like, that's a great question, and get it to you. But at least that way we have an answer for you. A great example is I've had questions of how many acres is in this zone. I can guarantee you I will never know that question on the spot. But that's something we can do the research for. So if you're wondering if one of your questions is too specific, just give it to us anyway. That way we're prepared. If it never comes up in a public hearing, that's fine. If it does, it's great too. But let us help you and help us look like geniuses.
Mm-hmm. So. I was just going to say that there are questions that I have asked during meetings that I know the answer to, but it's not information that the public understands or even knows. And so I will ask that question so that the information will then be distributed around the room. And I think that's what the chairperson also needs to do.
It's a very important
point.
It is, yeah.
It's a very important point.
That's a good point. So lastly, for me, is for both of those to happen, again, the worst thing you could do is not participate or ask questions. Don't ever be afraid to ask questions. course, if you're not there to begin with. So ultimately, try to show up to as many meetings. We understand things come up, but if things do come up, communicate, maybe with Gina, that you won't be there in advance. But if you can let us know as soon as possible as well. Sometimes you may not know, but if you call at 4 o'clock to tell us you're not going to be at a meeting at 6, largely we are actually setting up for said meeting, or we're getting ready, we're preparing, so we might not get it. And it's really important because we need a quorum for decisions. So if we know multiple people are going to be out, we need time to let applicants know and to readjust accordingly. And also, you guys nailed it on here, be on time. If you're running late, then we're panicking. Everybody coming up, or we should start. So communication is just key.
So should we hand in our vacation time that we've already scheduled, which we didn't know we were going to be appointed to a high post like this? So.
Yeah, I would, as soon
okay.
as you know.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as you I'll know if you're going to be out for things, it gives us a heads up. Especially if we're trying to do study sessions like this, where obviously it's not the first Tuesday of the month, but I wish it was. More time for Christmas shopping. But we can schedule things like this as well appropriately, so
okay.
that would be appreciated.
But it is possible, I believe, to call into a meeting and participate over the phone, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
So even if you're out of town, you can call in.
How about Ireland?
If you're awake. If you're awake,
nickel.
It's going to be 3 in the morning.
Really committed.
Absolutely right. That's a possibility. How many of you have ever participated in a meeting over the phone? Please share your thoughts as well. Everyone I've spoken to the T, in terms of especially with a commissioner or council meeting, it's so hard to follow what on earth is going on, and that person usually is inadvertently interrupting, not on purpose, or is you can't follow the flow, and especially the commission meetings, you can't see the presentations. So, the ask really is don't ever ask to do that right away.
It's like throwing axes in the dark.
Right. It's really hard. Anyone want to share an experience?
My favorite one, and I'll leave the named nameless, I had to sit in a hospital with a former council member who decided he had to attend a meeting remotely. And I had to be there because this individual had to attend the executive session. And we went through the executive session, and I left, and then I get back to the actual meeting, and through the telephone, we hear... But we had a quorum.
A snoring quorum.
Good. So we've touched on this a lot tonight. It kind of seems to be a recurring theme, but staying on topic. So kind of use an example, commercial architecture, which will come before you guys. Sometimes there's confusion whether, you're approving just the architecture or the site design. So just really being very clear on what you're either approving or making a recommendation on. Just so that there's no confusion. And again, if you have questions before the meeting or even during the meeting exactly on what is before you, feel free to ask staff. We are a resource. We're really trying to stay out of, getting into the weeds, staying off topic, discussing things that you're not either approving or making a recommendation for. Just kind of limiting confusion. So is there any questions on that?
I'll ask a Bob type question. So if architecture's on the menu, should we be discussing the street layout and where the park is?
No.
Thank you.
So, yeah, and I'll kind of follow up on that. So a lot of times with architecture, the site design has been approved already. So it's not, it's not on the table for either, approving or making a recommendation for. So it doesn't you know, if you kind of get into things that don't add value to the discussion, it's just not, it doesn't make for a very productive meeting, and then it takes time to pull everything back and get it focused again.
I got a question. If you want to know more information about this piece of architect or this display of thing, well, is it okay to go visit, let's say it's a church and they have a piece of art they want to put up or something. Is it okay to go talk to, say, a pastor or the secretary or to find out a little bit more about it?
You're making me twitchy ski.
Yeah,
What is it? Visit the site or talk to someone. Mm-hmm.
Visit the site part, I'm good. As soon as you say the pastor, the applicant.
So, if you're willing to talk to an applicant, be at a church, you need to be willing to go talk to a developer who's an applicant, or you need to be talking to. You can see how this gets pretty weird quick.
And which neighbor did you talk to?
So please don't do that.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was just wondering if
your
it was...
Your information gathering relative to communication with individuals needs to happen in the public meeting.
In the public meeting, just like you said. Okay.
You want to go online and learn about the church?
Yes.
Go.
That's good. Okay.
Go, absolutely. You
Google the artist.
Research online independently, but we just ask you not to engage in that.
I was thinking that, but I just wanted to clarify that you're not supposed to, which you were really basically already covered. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, John.
It's okay.
I'm glad yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric, not that it's never happened. I'm telling you, this is relived.
This has happened before, and it creates problems.
It's tempting, you know.
So kind of moving more in, to the not-so-positive, not ensuring all questions are addressed or that any misinformation isn't addressed. So you know, a lot of times members of the public will come up, they'll be speaking about a case, they might have questions about, you know, drainage, traffic, lighting, hours of businesses, just to name a few examples. Or commissioners, you guys might have questions about something too. So really this kind of goes back to, you know, the role of the chair is to make sure that, you know, questions or any misinformation is addressed so that everyone has, you know, the proper information, that you guys are making a recommendation, you know, based with the best information. So, you know, staff, we are there to, you know, answer questions and make sure everything is addressed. So that's just, you know, a good meeting will make sure that all of that, you know, everyone's on the same page and with the proper information. Okay. There any questions about that?
I may add that it's also really good that to get not only educate the public that's hearing that, but also good customer service, right? Is if they say something out and then they go sit down and nobody talks about it, why did I even go up and nervously stand at a podium and say all this stuff? You know, and it's not that everything needs a response, but if there's sometimes questions, like we've had, I was presenting once, and somebody interrupted their presentation from the crowd, and the chair said no. Like, wait. But then they got up and asked, well, wait, I just want to know how close this is to my house, and there was an opportunity for staff to answer. But if you would have sat down and never got that answer, you know, it's just kind of, think of that way, too. So.
Oh, no, thank you. That's a great example. Yep, and we'll do my third. So last, again, kind of moving more into the not so great, and we talked about this as well during tonight's meeting, but poor body language, or, you know, not actively listening or paying attention, you know, or being on your phone. That is a great example right there. No, Beth. You know, you are up there in front of, you know, the public and in front of staff. You know, perception, again, is everything. So some people, they might, you know, be listening, but they close their eyes, but they're still listening, but it might not look that way. Or maybe they're looking, you know, looking something up on your phone that's relevant to the case, but we don't know, you know, the public doesn't know, well, are they, you know, on Facebook or on their email, texting, or are they actually, you know, paying attention? So if you do have a question, you know, ask staff if, you know, maybe we know the answer so you don't have to, you know, feel like you need to look it up. But yeah, so really you're there to, you know, actively listen, be neutral, and just, you know, pay attention and get all the information and make sure that, you know, you're making a decision with all the information that you've been, you know, commissioners have been paying attention.
Good. One of my most favorite things I hear in this building is when our customers say to us, "Wow, you guys are so helpful. You are not like typical government." And then what makes that even more amazing is when they say that after they've been to a meeting, a commission meeting or a council meeting, you know, our applicants will say, "Well, you know, that was a good experience. I felt like I was heard regardless of the outcome. You know, you guys are not like typical government." And I like that. And that kind of goes with some of the things we saw on the board is, you know, respect people, make them feel welcome. Celeste hit it really well when, you know, that young lady was speaking, you know, these people are, not all of them are pros. You know, some of them are homeowners. This is their first time public speaking is awful to most everybody. You know, so they're just up there, you know, this is the worst thing they're doing this week. And, and you know, and so speaking to them respectfully and welcoming and understand where they're coming from, I think that goes a long way. And that's a great thing that we do. Bad is, we have a lot of meetings outside of this campus. You know, we have neighborhood meetings, we have site visits, and so we need to treat those, you know, with the same respect. So if you're late to a site meeting, or you don't show up for a neighborhood meeting, or you're in the back of a neighborhood meeting and you're seen talking to somebody about last night's movie, wasn't that really great? You know, and it's like, that doesn't, you know, show well. You know, people are watching, even though it's not a formal hearing, they're still watching, especially generally we introduce who you are.
Well, you know, we live on the mobile phone. So
yes.
When we do a site visit,
yes.
I would really recommend that we all shut the phones down.
Yes.
And leave it in the car.
Yeah.
But just don't drag it with you.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's another image.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have to get on and answer the phone, you're talking and buyers, boom, boom, buyers leading us down the site.
Yes.
I don't think that's a good thing.
Right.
Okay? That's my personal advice. I found that.
A point that you bring up is almost, especially in residential areas, you think, oh, it's just a site visit with staff. Every time neighbors come out.
Yeah.
And they ask, what are you doing here? You know, so it's not just at a site visit, oh, I'm just with staff, you know.
Some of the worst site visits were what happened in Beyer, and I can attest to this. It was a long time ago before we became a little bit more adept at it. Is people would go off in groups of three and four with neighbors and stand off in the corner while the site visit was happening.
Yeah.
And we're going, and I'm going, I'm not attending these anymore because then I'm going to have to get people in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Then something on my ugly list here is influencing design to your own taste. So we had some examples, some bad examples of that in the past. One of them is we had this local family-owned business come to town. They bought property here. They knew that they were going to have to go through processes to get their development plans and their architecture. And it came down to the end is this really cool building they wanted to build, they wanted to have a red and a blue paint color in the entryway. And the design review board at the time, a couple of members just couldn't, like, no. Finally, that business went away. They've now been doing business in Tucson for the last 15 years, you know. So we lost this opportunity, even though they have this really awesome architecture. Maybe it was a little outside of what we normally see. But, you know, you have to kind of think of what is the consequence of, you know, can we help this applicant change it, make it better, make it a better fit? Or is it worth losing? And that's kind of something to think about. And another weird thing that happened was with the Oro Valley Marketplace. The folks who reviewed that plan had some sort of aversion to seeing signs along Oracle Road and Tangerine. So if you drive down Tangerine or Oracle Road and look over at the marketplace, you're not going to see a sign, except Walmart. Because later on, many years later, we gained approval for them to put signs on the back sides of those buildings. And it's like, so we're saying at a meeting, you know, a public hearing, well, we think this scenic corridor, which you're looking at a commercial development, which is nicely built, I'm not sure we're saying we don't want you to have signs on your buildings, so let's have just a bunch of unsuccessful businesses then. You know, that you kind of have to think through about what a lot of these, you know, little personal opinions might matter.
Come a long way since copper patina.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be passing out our list. So this is what the Moore Valley Coin Riggins Roll. our list, I'm sure, again, you guys have lots to add. If you want to discuss more or hear any more funny stories, we'll be around. Please ask us. And although there are things that individually we can all work on, including staff, keep in mind, it's to really make sure that as a whole, we are giving the good impression for city government and just making an experience that people want to come to and feel that they can come and share their feedback and leave willing to come back. So with that, because I may not be able to call you this tomorrow, I'm going to give it back a boom, boom, bye.
He dresses as a rapper next time.
Yeah.
Well,
then,
Mark,
why don't we...
So we're coming right up at 8, so you know, that is really the meat of the evening. And so you know, the last item was really wanting to try to wrap up the evening and give big takeaways. And instead of listening to me prattle on and trying to sum it up, I wanted to ask each commissioner, you know, if there's one thing walking away this evening, if there's just one primary thing walking away, what is that? Would you guys all be willing to share something?
Can we call you Boom Boom later?
All right, come on.
You're not going to have it.
Stretch a little.
I like it.
There you go.
Well, you know, for me, I think it's really comforting, you know, to know that the staff is there, you know, to help us. So to feel uncomfortable asking a question where you say, well, I read this, and I went through it, and I went through it twice. I still don't understand it. This is comforting to hear that you guys are available to hear us out, or, you know, to ask the questions. And that's probably my real takeaway for the evening.
Thank you, Dan. We take that very seriously. I want to add a little bit to that. You'd be surprised how many times I find, especially with new members, who feel that if they have a different take or they disagree with staff's recommendation, we provide recommendations. We do not demand that you follow those. We do not get upset if you don't follow those. We are not offended. But many people are surprised to hear that if folks want to go in a completely different direction, we're going to help you go there. We're going to tell you, if you ask for advice, and they won't ask us advice. But if you ask us, you know, I don't think this is a good idea, what general plan policies would I focus on? We're going to tell you. We're going to help you do, we're going to show, lead you where to go to do that research. We're a resource, bottom line.
One of the common takeaways that I heard was the idea of maintaining transparency and being respectful to the applicants and staff, and make sure that we do work together as a team and don't display any biases in our decision-making process, even if they're only perceived biases. We don't want to get into that process of creating an image of, oh, this is city government at its worst. We want to be city government at its best.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you guys do these trainings and kind of give us all an opportunity just to get to know each other a little bit. I know that's been really helpful. And when I started last year, I think Melanie actually gave me this advice, and she was like, always go to the dinners beforehand. Because they, I think, what is that, 5:30?
you know, they'll provide dinner. And it's been, that was such great advice. And I was, you know, I feel like I've made great friends on this committee. And
yeah.
I just respect everybody that we've worked with. And I feel like the town has done a really great job fostering that sense of community with on just within the commission. And you guys have done so well training us. And I always feel like if, you know, there's anything we need clarification on, we can come to you. I know, I think Hal and Skeet and I had gone to the that planning conference, and I remember we took the commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission 101 class, and at the end we all kind of looked at each other, well, that was a waste of time. The town already taught us all of this. We were over-prepared for this, so.
Big compliment, buyer.
I know, like, really, I think we all kind of was like, well, that was really 101, and you guys have put us to 302.
It's been an exciting year. I've learned so much. Just like I said, the staff, meeting these people, and getting to know them, and on a personal basis, we don't talk about stuff. But it's just been very. I thought I knew some things, and I don't. I learned so much this year, and I'm so excited for the next 2 years. I'm so looking forward to serving. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I appreciated Bob's presentation this evening and talking about the role of the chairman. And it's not an easy role to fulfill. Like Bob, I have about 35 years of experience as a professional planner. And although I have that experience, you know, this is the first time I've served on a planning commission. So it's a different perspective for sure. So I appreciate what you had to say, Bob. It gives you a lot of thought about whether you want to be a chairman or not.
You guys will think long and hard. I'm not discouraging anyone, but it's not something you take on lightly.
That's for sure.
Well, Bob, Tom, any parting shots?
My thought is this, having been involved in commissions and task forces and planning and so on for the last 15 years, the thing that really amazes me is the real, you guys provide the continuity. The staff, the commissioners come and go, council comes and goes, but the one thing that is absolute is that the staff, and they, I mean, you've had turnover there too, but you provide the continuity. And that, together with the documentation, which I think the town has done an excellent, excellent job with regard to writing code, writing policy, the general plan, all of the above. I mean, that's what is the heart and soul of this community. And that's what guides all of us and have guided us over the years and will continue to guide us in the future. So I feel really good. I think we're in good hands.
You can stop me, Joe, if I go first.
Stop.
What I wanted to say mostly was thank you to Bob and to Tom. Both of them, both of them I have the opportunity to serve on the Planning Commission with, and I just have the highest respect and regard for each of you. You both came onto the Planning Commission during my term with previous Board and Commission experience, and you both always clearly put in the work and the effort beforehand. When I attended important neighborhood meetings, the two of you were the ones who were consistently there from the commission. Anyway, it's just it's a tremendous work that you've put in, and I just want to say thank you very much, both from me personally and I'm sure from the council as a whole, that we really appreciate the service that you've given and hope you'll continue to come back and serve on more boards and commissions and things through the years, because you both contributed tremendously. So
here.
I think everything is good for next year. I mean, I think we've selected three excellent candidates. We interviewed 15, and let's see, Nervous Neil, Dandy Divine,
Dandy Dan,
and Jack of all trades, Jay, would be excellent additions to the commission. Again, we live by the rules that we have up there on the board. Use the staff, trust them, rely on them. They'll help you through the hard times. And whoever is the commissioner, the chairperson next year, rely on Byer and Joe to keep you on the straight and narrow. They've been really, really helpful for me, because we've been in some kind of gnarly situations over the years. And I wasn't quite sure what to do, and all the spotlight is right on the chair. And you got to fly, you know, by seat of your pants sometimes.
We have a de-gnarling tool.
Everything's in good hands. Yeah. And it's been my pleasure to serve and work with you all.
If I could throw one thing by, I'm not going to go into it, but our town clerk will have some more training for the three of you. I call it the wet blanket meeting, because it's kind of the rules and the laws and the restrictions and the no fun part of this. And that'll be coming up probably after your first meeting, because our clerk's just swamped. So prepare yourself. You'll get an invite. I'll be there.
Oh, okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.